So I'd like to welcome to the Caregiver Smile Summit, Amy Goyer. She's the family and caregiving expert for AARP and author of Juggling Life, Work, and Caregiving. She's a writer, speaker, and consultant specializing in caregiving. She has provided interviews for all the major print and broadcast media outlets, including appearances on The Doctors, Dr. Phil, The Today Show, Good Morning America, and CBS This Morning, something I'm aspiring to all of those, Amy. She started her career as a music therapist and has worked in the field of aging for more than 35 years at local, state, national, and international levels. She's a passionate champion for family caregivers, and she's been one her entire adult life, caring for her grandparents, parents, and sister. She currently cares for 93-year-old father Robert, who has Alzheimer's disease and lives with her in the Phoenix, Arizona area. Amy, welcome to the Caregiver Smile Summit.
Hi, thank you so much. It's great to be a part of the summit, and I'm ready to have a good conversation with you.
All right, let's get started. So I, at one point, was caregiver for my mom for a few years before she actually then moved up to our area, and I was a long distance kind of supporting my sister. So you're currently caregiving for your dad, and you've been a longtime caregiver. What is your experience with long distance caregiving, and what are the challenges?
I've been a caregiver really my entire adult life. First for my grandparents when I was in my 20s, and I lived in Ohio and they lived in Indiana, but my parents lived in Arizona, clear across the country, so I was closer. I did a lot of long distance caregiving there, as well as traveling there a lot to help. And then later my mom had a stroke when she was only 63 years old. So she, my dad was the primary caregiver, but my sisters and I did a lot of support. I did a lot of long distance caregiving, and over the years that increased, and my dad developed Alzheimer's. So I moved out here 8 years ago to take care of my parents. But before that, it was all long distance and visits. And then my oldest sister also became very ill with Cushing's disease in Maryland. So after I moved out here, I was long distance caregiving for her. My mom and my sister have both passed away. But now with Daddy, I travel a lot for my work. So I'm really both a long distance caregiver and an in-person live-in caregiver.
And, you know, and I lost a sister too, who was caregiving for my mom. So I certainly sympathize with you there. So what are some of the challenges of that? I mean, what it's, you know, on any given day, what's kind of the biggest thing that just kind of nags at you?
You know what, when you're long distance caregiving, it's always what's going on that I'm not seeing. So that worry, that emotional toll of what am I missing? I think that's one of the biggest differences with a long distance caregiver. I actually like having my dad live with me because I have a much better handle on the care he's receiving and what he's getting and what he's eating and his safety and everything. So that emotional toll, I think a lot of long distance caregivers feel guilty because we're not there all the time. And so there's kind of those emotional feelings to deal with. And the research indicates that long distance caregivers actually spend more money. The financial burden can be more. And that may be because they're paying for family care, they're paying for paid caregivers to do what they can't do. It may be because of travel expenses. I know I bought a lot of plane tickets to come out to Arizona in the past. So those expenses do add up. And then there's all the usual things that all family caregivers deal with in terms of not taking care of themselves and not having enough time in the day and all of those other things.
Yeah, absolutely. So obviously the key is when you do have time to be with the person, you know, how do you make the most of visits with loved ones and in the short time you have, assess and monitor the situation?
Yeah, you know, I think the most important thing to do when you are able to visit is to maximize that visit and really get a good handle on what's going on. Again, you're always worrying about what's happening when you're not there. So when you are there, you want to look at the living situation. Is it safe? You want to look at what is their care support? What is their support system there in place? And you want to look at their quality of life because it's about that as well and their health, their existence of their health. But what kind of life are they living? Do they have any social life? Are they isolated? You want to assess the whole rounded situation. Are they managing their finances or are you seeing stacks of bills piled up in the corner and that you arrive and they're like, oh, can you help me with this complicated financial matter. And often when you're at a distance, they don't think to ask you to do that. So on your visits is when you really get a feel for what's really happening. A lot of family caregivers say they go to visit for the holidays and they get a wake-up call because they don't really realize what's going on at home. So out from time to time, you have to have in-person visits. If you don't, you have to have someone there on the ground. And even if you do visit frequently, you still have to have people who are your eyes and ears there sort of on the ground.
Right. So adjunct question to that. Do you recommend, especially if you're a long distance caregiver, looking into like having a geriatric care manager take, you know, care for mom or dad?
I think, again, you have to have someone who's your eyes and ears. And that might be a family member. It might be a friend or someone else who is willing to take on that role. But a lot of family caregivers do need to hire someone. The event of geriatric care managers and the development of that field has really, I think, been a good thing for family caregiving. They call themselves aging life care specialists now. Yeah. So you go online, look for that term and find one in your area. And they can help you with assessing the situation and also monitoring and then also aligning services, shopping. You know, if your loved one suddenly goes in the hospital and you can't get there for 24 hours, who's going to be there advocating for them? That's something that someone like that could do. Sometimes people just have a paid caregiver who is their, you know, the main point person on there with their loved ones. And sometimes that person can play that role. But it's really interesting to work with someone like an aging life care specialist. You can also go to the area agency on aging and ask for help with an assessment, having them come out to the home, assess the living situation and what their needs are.
Okay. Yeah, I have to learn that terminology. I've been corrected a couple times now, but so
it's important, I think, still to keep using that geriatric care manager term because a lot of people are familiar with it, and it kind of does describe it.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, that could be one thing you do, but as a long-distance caregiver, after you evaluated the situation and then you have to leave, what else can you practically do when you're far away?
Well, there's a lot you can do from a distance. So the fact that you're at a distance doesn't mean, oh, gee, I can't do anything. Even if you have family members there who live near your loved ones and they're doing most of the care, there's a lot a long-distance family caregiver can do. So you're not off the hook. Sometimes you're the only caregiver and you're at a distance, and that's a lot of pressure too. But there are things you can do, like managing the finances. That's the first thing I did from a distance for my dad. I gradually moved into managing his finances. I opened a separate account for him to have just for his spending money, and then I paid all the bills out of everything else so he didn't have to worry about that. That wasn't so hard for me to do from a distance because of technology. You can do a lot because of technology now. The other things you can do are you can make doctor's appointments. You can research treatments and equipment and materials and activities and all of that sort of thing. Everything's available online. So whether you're sitting in the same room with them or you're 2,000 miles away, you can get online and do that research. You can give that information to your loved ones or the caregivers that are there with your loved ones. So they're You can also do things like purchasing. You can order supplies and have them sent to the house. I used to order my dad's supplements and vitamins from my mom and dad and have them sent to the house. Grocery shopping. You can do their grocery shopping from 2,000 miles away and have it delivered to the house. There are all sorts of delivery services now. Some of the grocery stores actually have that service themselves, or there are others that can do it. You can even order a meal. There are sites like Grubhub and things like that now where that will actually deliver, you know, call up a restaurant, order a meal, and have it delivered to their house for them as a special treat or even on a more ongoing basis. So think of all these. You have to be really creative and think, what can I, you know, you sort of get that mindset of, oh, I'm not there, I can't do anything, and that's just not true anymore. There's a lot you can do and a lot you can contribute. My oldest sister, when she was ill and contribute much, she would do research of things like that for me, order things on Amazon. And I asked her to call my parents every night. And she did that, Even when she felt terrible, she would set her alarm and call my parents. And then when she passed away, my other sister who lives at a distance started doing that. Mm-hmm. That's the simple thing you can do. And it brightens their day. I know for dad with dementia, it can actually change his mood sometimes to get that phone call.
Yeah, especially when you do it with FaceTime or Skype where you see the person, it really brings something else.
For a lot of people, that works. Yeah.
So we sort of started down this technology route. So why don't we just stay on it? Well, you know, how else is technology changing the way people caregive? And, you know, do you see new technologies that are emerging that are going to transform, you know, health and aging and caregiving?
Technology has changed the experience of aging, I mean, and caregiving just more than anything, I think, and especially for long-distance caregivers. It's really opened up a whole new world for long-distance caregivers. You can monitor your loved ones with video cameras. You can have motion sensors in the home that they can walk past so that you know they got out of bed in the morning. You can have things, medication monitoring that is built into the pill boxes. I saw one recently that looks kind of like a candy dispenser almost. It gets all the medicine out of each pill container and plops it into a little cup, and then, you know, there's your medicine for this dose. There's so much you can do, whether you're long distance or not. But the nice thing is that these all can be set up where you get text message notifications or phone calls. There are all sorts of monitoring systems. One of my favorite things for a long distance caregiver is all the home safety things you can set up now. So let's say mom is living alone and she has someone 3 times a week who comes and helps her bathe. You can put a digital lock on the front door that you can manage from 2,000 miles away, and when the person shows up, you can look on the camera and you see it's the right person. You unlock the door, she comes in and helps mom. You could also set it up so that person has their own code that only works during certain hours on certain days. That is a huge, huge step, I think, for long-distance caregivers for our peace of mind and our loved ones' safety. The other things are health monitors. You know, we've gone a long way from the I've fallen in, I can't get up, and it's just a simple push button. Now those have fall monitors in them. So if your loved one falls and is unconscious, they can't push the button. They will be able to send out a notification to either loved ones. You can set it up so you're contacted first, or to call emergency services. You can have things that monitor blood pressure and blood sugar and just numerous health benefits from technology now. These are all things you can check from a distance because they're usually sync up with a smartphone or a tablet, and you can set them up whether you're at work across town and you're worried about your mom, or you're, again, 2,000 miles away. These are things that will work for you. You know, technology, it just changes so rapidly. I'm constantly looking at the life pitch for new technologies and judging them and doing those things, and it's just creativity is abounding, and I think long-distance caregivers benefit more than anyone.
Oh, absolutely. We had a session for the summit on millennial caregivers and how they're stepping up, seeing the gaps, and are actually creating the solutions. And it's fun to see because it does simplify lives. It's just a matter of people wanting to embrace them and learn them and not be afraid of them. So
right. And there's also the issue of privacy. So yep. You need to make sure that your loved ones are okay. You know, do you want to have a video camera in the bathroom to, you know, can you set it so it just lets you know? I actually had that issue with my dad because he would get up at night and I needed to know, was he going to the bathroom and getting back in bed, or did he get lost and go out the wrong way? Mm. And so I was able to set up the camera so that I could see him going in and out, but I wasn't invading his privacy. There also are things now that are based on motion sensors, but also things that are based on the heat of your body. where it monitors that you're close to this and you flipped a switch or something because your hand is there. It's just unbelievable what they can check. I also think that GPS tracking is one of the best things that's happened. Now you can have the PERS or the personal emergency response systems, medical alert systems that go wherever you go. So if, you know, my aunt and uncle are still driving, they're out in the community, and I, you know, was talking to them about this. What if you fell in a parking lot? And, well, my aunt did fall in a parking lot, and luckily some nice men helped her get up. But what if she had been blocked and no one saw her for hours? So having something that's an emergency response wherever you go, they're also just simple apps that, you know, I know my boyfriend has set up for his mom where there's an app that he downloaded where he can monitor where her cell phone is. So he'll see, oh, mom's driving, you know, mom left my house. She's driving home. I can track where she is and make sure she got home okay.
Right.
And she doesn't have to call me when she gets home and that sort of thing. So that's a big help too.
So where do you scan the environment to kind of keep track of what's coming out and what's coming down the pike?
It's difficult because there's so much new going on. I love going to the live pitches. There's a lot of things they call live pitches where the technology and the startups will go and pitch their ideas and their concepts and their products to potential funders. So I'm judging one in November that in Tampa, the ARP Caregiving Accelerator there is having a live pitch. So I look forward to hearing all the new things there. I think online though, there's a lot of articles. Twitter is a great source actually to see what's coming up new because everyone's talking about their products.
Okay, great. And two of our experts are for the summit are Lori Bitter and Mary Furlong, who have a Boomer Technology Summit, Silicon Valley Summit. So we've had some great conversations with them. So who else can help? When caregivers can't be near their loved ones, how can they build a support system for their loved ones and themselves?
That is the most important thing, to have people who are there looking out for your loved ones and communicating with you. So as we mentioned, the aging life care specialists or geriatric care managers, the Area Agency on Aging is always the first place I send people. You can ask there for an assessment, someone who can come out and check out the home and check out your loved one's needs, recommend services. You can also find out what services they have. Usually support is increased gradually. So like with my grandparents, we started with Meals on Wheels and they just needed some, they weren't cooking much anymore. And nutrition is a very basic item that if you aren't eating, you can't live independently. So start out with services like that. They may know about adult day services, home delivered meals, as well as home health aides who can help with bathing or personal care, chore services. Sometimes people just can't get up there on the stool to change the light bulb. And without the lighting, the house isn't safe. Or maybe you've got some stairs that are crumbling outside and they need to get someone in the community who's trustworthy to come in and fix that. The Area Agency on Aging, always your first resource. And you can go to www.eldercare.gov. That's www.eldercare.gov. And put in your zip code and find out, you know, where your local Area Agency on Aging is and give them a call. The other things you can do is look at volunteer organizations. Veterans, my dad is a veteran and it's been a lifesaver for us in many ways. He receives some home care services, home-based primary care now. It's an arduous process to navigate the VA system and it takes a lot of patience, but in the end it's worth it because it can be a huge amount of support. There are also volunteer organizations that really like to focus on veterans and help them. So that's something else to think about. So, you know, you really need to make sure that you look at what the lay of the land is in your community. A lot of faith-based organizations offer services or supports. If your loved one was a member of a church or synagogue or temple, then you might find out, you know, what volunteer services do they have there? You can call the leaders and say, you know, mom's isolated or she needs a ride to services and she needs to get out and have some socialization. That's always a good resource to check on. Neighbors are a big part of support system, and they always have been. That's just part of community. And those neighbors might be mow the grass for your loved ones now and then. My grandfather, when he was 95 years old, lived in South Bend, Indiana, where there was tons of snow. And I remember going there, on a visit, and his neighbor coming over in the dead of winter and saying, I got up at 7 a.m. the other day to mow, to shovel your grandfather's snow, but he had already done it.
Of course he had.
But I knew I could count on those neighbors to be out there and taking care of that, as well as helping with mowing the grass, noticing if something's not right. If you see that car hasn't moved for several days, that's a red flag. So you need people who are sort of your gatekeepers. A lot of times the Postal Service, other community organizations will be sort of watchdogs for you. So you can check on that as well. They'll notice, oh, the mail's piling up. Why isn't Mrs. So-and-so getting the mail out of the mailbox? So all of these people kind of come together and make your eyes and ears on the ground, like I said.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And, you can't discount those VA benefits. My dad was a vet. He died way back in 69, but my mom lived till 94. And it was a lifesaver for her to stay in the community she was in.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So any other thoughts? You certainly covered a lot of territory for us. Is there anything else you wanted to add before we end our interview?
I think the other thing to keep in mind is sort of the normal things that you don't necessarily think of, like maybe your mom just needs somebody to clean the house on a regular basis. You can arrange for that kind of a service. And yes, you want somebody to monitor it, make sure that it's being done and they're not being taken advantage of. You also want to maybe yard care. I mean, those are kind of two of the basic things if they're still living at home. If your loved ones are living in a facility, you still need to be doing all of this. So just the fact that they're in a facility, you can't just 100% trust that they're being taken care of. I say somebody needs to be there every day when you have a loved one in the facility.
Sure.
So if you can't do that, again, go back to your geriatric care managers, a carer, a volunteer, a friend or neighbor who can check in on them. And you need to monitor yourself. Are they receiving the services they're supposed to be receiving? I'll never forget arriving. My dad, grandfather was in a nursing facility, and arriving there and going in, he was sitting there in the dining room with a plate with a very hard cookie on it in front of him. There was no one else in the dining room, and he was just sitting there in a wheelchair. And I went over there and I started talking to him. I realized he didn't even have his teeth in.
Mm.
That did not make me happy.
I bet.
If I hadn't arrived right then and been there, I wouldn't have known it. So I made sure that some relative was stopping in and checking on him every day, because those are the things that give you an indication of the kind of care that he's receiving. So you have to have kind of look for those red flags,
Yeah.
So just do your best and make visits whenever you can and use technology.
Absolutely. Well, Amy, this has been a great conversation, and clearly you have experience born from real experience with many years of caregiving, and certainly are a great voice out there to help all of us. And I want to thank you for being part of the Caregiver Smile Summit.
Oh, thank you. It's a pleasure to be a part of it. I think between my personal experience and 35 years working in the field of aging, I know, when I was working in adult daycare, we had a lot of long distance caregivers and we communicated with them. So just try to keep those lines of communication open.
Sounds good. Thanks again.
Thank you.